actually started a week ago.
Did
here.
You? Okay.
Yeah.
We're having our opening day tomorrow. We were in Mississippi taking on the Braves. So we'll be doing our show live from Wahoo Stadium tomorrow. So we're pretty excited for the venue. It's a beautiful venue down here, but it's been about 2 years.
I think everybody's ready to get going. The attendance here has been fine. I mean, you know how this works, Chad. There's a lot of excitement in the beginning, and depending on how the team does after that is kind of how they carry on with it. I mean, the fireworks and the promotions and people just are ready to be together and to be outside. So far, so good here.
Brett, we can't avoid this question. Obviously, being a Jacksonville native, somebody that means so much to the entire South, but especially in the Gainesville, Jacksonville area. Tim Tebow, today the news, the Jags plan to get the contract all done for Tebow, for giving him a one-year opportunity with the team. We'll see if he makes the team, but it looks like he's going to come back as a tight end, probably more of a slash-type player. But what did you think when you first heard the news? Because from the analytical standpoint, there's doubts of anybody. It doesn't matter if you're Superman, if you've been out of something for 6 years.
Look, I think we're in a situation where, and people don't really understand this yet, Chad, but this is not guaranteed that he'll be on the team. Now, if Sean Conn wants to be on the team to sell tickets, that'll take care of itself. But if you're going to decide between a 22-year-old player or a 33-year-old player, who is toward the end of his career, that often that decision takes care of itself. But really all this means is he's got a limited contract to try to earn a right to be on the team. That'll stir a little bit of excitement up, and that may sell a few tickets in anticipation, but no, it really does not mean that he's going to be on the team at all.
Brent, looking right now at baseball, we've seen the SEC have some really good teams in baseball and softball over the years. But right now, currently, in the top 25, they have the number 1 through 4 teams in both baseball and softball, with Florida leading the way in softball and Arkansas number 1 right now currently in baseball. When you look at that, have we seen a year? Because it's tough every day, I'm not going to lie, to pay attention to every softball, every baseball game in the state when there's a lot of things happening right now. And things are opening back up. People are getting back outside. We're not as watching any more Tiger King, hopefully. But when it comes down to it, Brent, have you seen a better year in the regular season for the SEC?
Been amazing, hasn't it? Vanderbilt playing well. Also, this Arkansas team has been amazing. And we haven't even mentioned the Gators yet, have we? So Florida has some late-inning heroics as of late, too. So it really kind of makes you wonder at this point, what is the NCAA going to do to keep from having the majority of the World Series being SEC teams?
Brent, looking right now at some college football, we still are waiting the teams getting ready for their summer camps, but overall we got a little glimpse in a lot of the games that were the spring games. Some of the teams decided not to play, like Florida. But when you look right now at Emory Jones, I think there's a lot of eyes on him. We've only got to see snippets. We got to see him when he was a true freshman have to come into a situation where nobody wanted to be in against Alabama in a SEC title game, and we knew the game was over. But he also, last year against Oklahoma, sort of more in cleanup duty, they were already trailing. We haven't got to see him an entire year. What I've seen, though, is an athlete that needs to work on his accuracy, or it could be a long season against the really good defenses. Is this a quarterback that can take the next step into becoming a Heisman-type hopeful, or are the Gators, which I'm leaning towards more right now, going to go through an 8-4 type year?
I don't think there's any way in the world he's going to be a Heisman-type quarterback. He just doesn't have the experience yet. Now, could he have a great year and Mullen make him into someone that we just don't think is going to happen right now? Maybe. But at this point, they've got a really good running back room. I think the receivers will be okay. Obviously, a lot of it would depend on the offensive line. my Lord, the defense has got to be better, particularly the secondary, even with Todd Grantham coming back and the coaching staff being revamped to some degree. I really do wonder, Chad, how much of this not having a spring game had to do with Mullen did not want these quarterbacks to be embarrassed for whatever reason during the game. So, at this point, we really don't know where to go with these quarterbacks. I'm with you. We've seen some decent things out of Jones, a little bit, but certainly not enough to know. And you know, in this league, that there is no way in the world that you're not going to win without an accurate quarterback. Now, you know, can he make plays with his legs? He can. But defensive coordinators are paid a lot of money to figure those things out. So without a doubt, that is the biggest question mark for Florida this year. And you're beginning to hear more of this. I know ESPN came out with their latest power poll. Florida's like 17th. So, Chad, that goes kind of with what you're saying. I mean, if you're 17th in the country, you're headed for a 9-3, 8-4, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah, Brent, I think sticking to Florida real quick. So is Emory Jones is he guaranteed to be that guy at Florida? I think that's one of the things that it would seem like he would be the next in line, but given, like you said, there are still some question marks maybe with what he brings to the table. Is there something that Dan Mullen might do where it's open at the beginning of the year? And I don't think you'd want to be in the situation where you play two quarterbacks, but do you think it could end up being that way for Florida?
Maybe. And he may have to. But if Jones really doesn't get up to speed very quickly. Now, look, they've got a couple of games where I think that they can kind of break him in. But the reality of it is, do you want to have a quarterback question with Alabama coming in?
Yeah, well, and I think the thing, too, that's interesting, getting into a little bit of what the NIL is doing, the NCAA recently, Mark Emmert said, hey, we want this thing done by July 1st, which seems to be that deadline for all these states. Florida was going to go to 2022. They brought it back to 2021 after guys like Mackenzie Milton and Dan Mullen and a bunch of people involved in the state of Florida, whether it be athletes or coaches, made their opinions clear. Do you? I guess the better question, the best question would be, how does the NCAA find a way to get this done for all states involved in all colleges, and also try to make it the fairest so that schools that are in Florida, while it would be nice to have an advantage, don't?
The NCAA really should have dealt with this about 5 years ago, and they really drug their heels. Now they're saying that they really want to come up and make the decision. So right now it's still up in the air. There's so many things that we don't know about this and the unintended consequences that are concerning. Does it give a school a recruiting advantage? Would it cause problems with the chemistry within the team? I've heard kind of putting it in a pot and balancing it around with some of the other different sports is a possibility. I've heard putting it in a trust fund and letting the kids have it at the end of their career, which I think there's probably some merit with that. But at this point, this thing, guys, is just so open-ended at this point that we have no idea where this thing's going.
Yeah, and it's going to take, just like anything, there's going to be some fat cats in suits and lawyers that will want to drag this out as long as it can, because that's how they make their money. So it's going to be a situation where this might not even happen until my daughter's 5. She might be ready to play and get paid for her brand and image and likeness in college when this thing's all said and done.
Well, it's going to be, I would say, guys, 2 to 3 years to go through this before we even know how to legislate it and how to limit it right now that it's so new at this point. So, yes, absolutely. We could see this going on for quite a while.
I mean, we've talked about it for, what, 15 years? I mean, it seems like we've talked. I mean, this conversation has been taking place since guys like Christian Laettner were playing basketball for longer than that. So we're dating back 20, 25 years. It's going to linger on. There's too many people that are fighting against it because right now, anything in life where people that dictate the rules are making more money and people that don't dictate have the voice, but they ultimately can't change it, it's going to take more than a couple protests. It's going to take more than a couple legislative bills. It's going to be something where it has to be a full-up uprise in order for this to change. And ultimately, those people say, okay, all right, we'll give up our power, because right now the NCAA still has that power, and it is changing every day, which is something different to see. But, Brent, that's all the time we have for today. We got to take a break, but always appreciate your time, as always, and looking forward to talking to you next week, my friend.
We might just have a college football preseason magazine Woo-hoo. In our hands
nice.
By the time we talk again next week.
What magazine is that, Brent? Because I know Phil Steele, Athlon, and Lindy's, and Street Smith's. Is there any of those coming out? I don't think they're coming out this early, or are they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Last year, the first magazines were out March 16th. So May 16th, and that's pretty much what happens every year, sometime between like the 16th and the 20th. First two out will be Lindy's and Athlon. Phil Steele will be about a month later. Street Smith could be sometime in between. So and look, the problem is it's a guide. We use them. But man, with this transfer portal, we've got some of these teams that but by the time we get into July and these magazines will put to bed way before then, you can have a lot of that roster change.
Yeah, they're gonna be all the way outdated by the time all this stuff gets figured out. I'm as excited for Brennan with these. I've been getting football preview magazines for the last decade or so, and I absolutely love them.
They're a must. I know you've got the internet now, and I get all that stuff, but the reality of it is that we've also got that they're great to have for depth charts, rosters, just different pertinent information along that time. So all in all, I buy every one of them. You never know sometimes when your internet's going to be in or out. And then you can, if you got that at your fingertips, it's worth it.
It is. Yeah. And how many different, I know you work with Lindy's and a couple, been around the magazines for a while, Brent. How many different magazine covers go into it every year? Meaning, like, I know for the regional market, I've seen at least five or six out of the state of Florida. Yeah. But how many regional ones are you talking around the country? Are you talking hundreds?
They make a lot of money, frankly, with their different magazine covers. I mean, it's basically the same magazine. Now, Lindy's got a national magazine and a regional magazine. But pretty much ever. And look, even on the regional magazine and Lindy's, we've seen this, guys. It really depends on what state you're in. You'll see Florida or FSU or Miami players here in Alabama, Auburn, in Alabama. So, listen, they've got this thing figured out, and it works for them the way they do it.
I always wanted to go to like a Publix or one of those shopping centers. I'm not even sure if they have them in where I'm going, but go to like Columbus, Ohio, or go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and just swap out your magazine that you got from one of the other cities in the front, just to see. Like, they'll be walking down the aisle and be like, "What is that? Is that Justin Fields on the cover? Well, why is he on the cover of my magazine? Like, what is this? Like, oh, no, that's just the region. They just put him down here. See the people, just put a hidden camera and just let them. I'm not buying this now, but, hey, Brent, it is always great to catch up, and we're looking forward to talking more and getting into the magazines next week.
Yeah, and I'll leave you with this. You remember the Street Smith magazines? Mm-hmm. They had the single bar on the helmet. That they have a player on the front. And instead of a normal helmet and a normal face guard, that they would have just the single bar so you could see his face. they did that for years.
That is awesome. Well, Brent, looking forward to talking about the magazines next week.
Me too, guys. Take care.